Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to athletic performance, body composition, anti-aging, fitness, and nutrition. On Side 1, Corey will provide a clinical review of articles published in various health and fitness journals, as well as his own personal commentary. He will then be joined by Tracy Hawley to discuss health and fitness issues which pertain to female athletes, mothers, and children. Side 2 includes an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience as a clinician, author, healthcare provider, athlete, or professional in the healthcare and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, February 2003. Last month, I talked about the art and science of sports nutrition and what it actually means. In essence, sports nutrition is for anyone concerned about health and fitness and their ability to perform with excellence in life. It's not just for people who play sports, although life itself is a sport and everyone has to eat. Sports nutrition revolves around fitness and controlled exercise, and we know that training is essential to health and wellness. We also know that exercise and optimum nutrition must be combined in a logical fashion if we ever hope to optimize our body composition and prevent degenerative disease. Remember, sports nutrition is not a trend. It is nourishment for life. In this edition, I'd like to talk about weight training. My passion, my love, my joy. Weight training is an art form which requires skill, coordination, and great mental concentration. Millions of people worldwide are lifting weights, but how many of them really understand what they're doing? How many are getting the results they want? How many have been professionally trained? For sure, the 80-20 rule applies here. What I mean is 80% of gym members across North America do not really know what they're doing. Just take a look at how people bench or perform lateral raises. Few men work their legs with equal devotion and time compared to their arms or chest, and core training, which involves working the entire region of the trunk and midsection, front and back, is seldom made a priority, even though it's the power center of the body. Remember, it's impossible for an athlete to transfer their full potential power in sport without a strong, tight gut. In weightlifting, strict attention must be applied to correct execution of movements and proper exercise form, prevention of injury, and the long-term effect of your exercise strategy must be a consideration associated with choosing specific exercises. Like throwing the hammer or discus in track and field, technique is everything. Bent over rowing, using a barbell, for example, is excellent for building the latissimus dorsi, your back, or the rhomboideus major, but with heavy weights, this exercise can ruin your vertebrae in the column of your lower back, no matter how good your technique is. So it's not really an ideal exercise. Most competitive powerlifters and many bodybuilders end up with chronic lower back pain. They're forced to have surgery and often become susceptible to arthritis and related autoimmune disorders that involve inflammation. It all starts with how you begin, and like everything, it's important to examine your motives. Behind neck presses are well known for building shoulder strength, but thousands of athletes destroy their joint capsule and damage their rotator cuff muscles in the process. In the end, they learn to live with chronic shoulder pain, or even worse, quit training altogether. I know a lot of men who just don't train anymore at all. They've gone from one extreme to the other. Learning basic movements like barbell squats or the bench press takes time, energy, and lots of practice. In weight training, repetition is the mother of skill. Each rep should be performed with precision and know-how. It is illogical to damage the body in the process of building muscle or developing strength. Consideration of your skeletal structure and overall physical health is important before engaging in a workout program. Begin with basic exercises using light weights, a repetition range of, say, 12 to 20 using moderate intensity. Initially, the amount of weight you use is irrelevant. Develop the right lifting pattern first. Focus on exercise technique and develop a rhythmic pattern of breathing and muscle control. By using your muscles according to their design, you will definitely become more aware of yourself. Avoid jerky, fast movements. Push or pull against resistance in a controlled and relatively slow fashion. Concentrate mentally on the fibers and muscle group you are forcing to contract in response to your telepathic command. Become aware of how the exercise feels. Although the motion of each exercise may seem foreign or uncomfortable in the beginning, the movements will eventually feel natural and smooth. The cable, dumbbell, or barbell should become an extension of your limbs and mind. Gradually, you'll develop an instinctual awareness of yourself and eventually what is known as the mind-muscle connection. When performing any exercise, there is a general tendency to slack off or compromise exercise technique to make the exercise easier. This is a natural response, as the body, if left to itself, will always choose the pathway of least resistance to conserve energy. It's called going through the motion. This tendency, however, reduces the productivity of the exercise and greatly limits muscular development and most of the physical benefits related to training. Every conscious attempt should be made to stay true to correct exercise form, with all effort focused on making the exercise as difficult as possible and therefore more productive. Rest between sets, not during sets. When you're in the motion of training, put your focus and energy on making it functional. Then the results will come. For training purposes, the body can be categorized into 6 primary or basic muscle groups according to size, including legs, back, chest, shoulders, triceps, and biceps. Secondary muscle groups include traps, hamstrings, calves, forearms, lower back and abs, or what is known as your core. 2 major types of free weight exercises are typically employed. The first is known as a compound movement. Compound movements target large or primary muscle groups and recruit smaller secondary muscles. A good example is the bench press. Although the chest is the target muscle, the deltoid or the shoulders and tricep muscles are also recruited and forced to contract when the bar is lowered and raised, thus receiving stimulation. Compound movements are foundation exercises and are great for building size and strength. Some examples are chin-ups, bar dips, standing, barbell curls, squats, deadlifts, military press, power cleans, bench press, and so on. The second basic type of free weight exercise is called an isolation movement. Isolation movements target one muscle group only. A good example is a concentration bicep curl using a dumbbell. Isolation exercises supplement compound movements and can be very useful for working around injuries, developing sport-specific functional value, or targeting specific muscle fibers after performing a major compound exercise. Most weight training routines combine compound and isolation movements using free weights, cables, and machines. Each individual is built differently and responds uniquely to a variety of exercises. Therefore, through trial and error, one must discover one's own ideal training routine and exercise format blend. Complete range of motion and continuous tension are 2 important principles of modern weight training. While engaged in any particular exercise, one should concentrate on full range of muscular motion in relation to the function and natural movement of the target muscle. This means you should fully extend and completely contract the muscle. Complete stretch and maximum contraction with applied resistance and control of movement is necessary for total muscular development. Partial movement brings only partial results. Although partial movements may be utilized in heavier lifting techniques to increase tendon and ligament strength, or enhance one's adaptive capacity to accommodate heavier lifting strategies. But these are reserved for advanced lifting strategies and shouldn't be employed until one has mastered the basic principles first. Continuous tension relates to maintaining pressure or tension on the muscle without allowing it to rest or relax through its fullest range of motion. Resting the muscle while performing the exercise is not recommended. For example, at the top of the squat, it is possible to lock the knees and remove the tension from the quadriceps. Avoid this temptation. Ascend just to the point of near lockout at the top, and then descend back down with control. Avoid dropping down quickly. The eccentric or negative phase of lifting is actually the most important phase. As you lower the weight in the squat, resist the weight and lower your body in a controlled fashion. Then, just as you break parallel, explode upwards with the force of a mountain. Always maintain control of the weight. Don't let it push you or pull you around. This is very, very important. In the initial stages of training, your own body weight and machines such as Nautilus, Hammer Strength, Cam 2, Apex, Strive, and Flex are useful to prepare for more advanced exercises using free weights. The plane of movement in these machines is fixed throughout a range of exercise motion, preventing any deviation of movement away from the guided plane. The biomechanics of the movement are predetermined. This helps teach beginners how to move the weight in a controlled fashion and compensates for any deficiency in balance and coordination. Machines also compensate for muscle weakness and muscle imbalance. Chin-ups, push-ups, and bar dips are excellent basic exercises, but difficult for many beginners to perform at first. Cable pull-downs, for example, offer an effective alternative to chin-ups, and over time, as the back and arms become stronger based on progressive training methods, it will then become possible to advance to standard chin-ups using a chinning bar and even adding weight using a dipping belt for added resistance. Free-moving barbells and dumbbells demand coordinated movement, balance, and grip strength, and therefore require greater mental concentration and overall effort. In some cases, a person may not fit a certain machine and can easily compensate with a free weight alternative. Free weights more closely mimic real-life movements, especially dumbbells. In other situations, a machine may be preferred for rehabilitation or for pumping the muscle. Machines are convenient and fast. Changing the weight is as simple as inserting a pin. In any case, a combination of both free weights and exercise machines are generally recommended for complete body development, with greater emphasis on free weights for building sheer strength, making advances in training, or for providing neuromuscular stimulation for sport training. Cables, pulleys, and adductor-abductor machines provide certain obvious advantages and thus are complementary. Each exercise designated for a specific muscle group has a fixed number of repetitions and sets. A repetition is one complete movement of an exercise. A set is a fixed number of repetitions. The average number of exercises performed per body part trained is 3 to 5. The average number of sets performed per exercise is also 3 to 5. Repetitions vary depending on training objectives, exercise intensity, and experience. Bodybuilders use 6 to 12, powerlifters 2 to 8, and those who are just toning or body shaping typically use light weights and rep ranges of 15 to 20. It really depends on what you're after, although type 1, type 2A, and type 2B muscle fibers all require stimulation and full recruitment for total muscular development. Type 1 or slow twitch fibers respond to lighter weights and higher repetitions. To stimulate both types of type 2 fibers, which are fast twitch fibers, you need to train with heavier weights and keep the reps under a ceiling of 6 for type 2B and 8 to 12 for type 2A. Warm-up sets usually vary between 10 to 12 reps with light weights and sometimes as low as 2 to 6. Warming up is useful to prepare specific muscles for heavier poundage and to practice form with total concentration and correct technique. Another basic rule of warm-up relates to body temperature. 5 to 10 minutes of cardio and a little stretching should be done first before you ever pick up a weight. This will greatly reduce risk of injury to the joints. Safety first is a good rule of thumb to practice in the gym. Use your head before you use your body. A study from the University of Florida, Gainesville, studied the effects of a single set versus a three-set approach to muscle size and strength to help determine the actual number of sets required to maximize results. Subjects were recreational weightlifters with at least 1 year of gym experience. Some were asked to reduce training sets to one only per exercise, while others were asked to maintain a strict training volume of 3 sets per exercise. After 13 weeks of testing, researchers found that both groups significantly increased their muscle size and strength. Thus, the one-set approach was just as effective in promoting muscle growth and strength as the 3-set approach. In contrast to this study, another group of researchers assigned 17 untrained women to either a single-set group or a multiple-set group. Each group was tested for their 1-repetition maximum in the squat and vertical jump height at the beginning and end of the study. Participants trained 3 days per week for 8 weeks. After the 8 weeks, the multiple-set group increased their 1-repetition max squat value by 34.7% and vertical jump height by 11.2%. On the other hand, the single-set group improved their 1-repetition max in the squat by 24.2% and improved just 0.3% in vertical jump height. The fact remains that women in this study were untrained, and this raises debate. But the fact also remains that both volume and intensity both play important roles in muscular development and performance. As far as my own training goes, I never employ more than 2 sets per exercise or more than 4 exercises per body part. I also train each body part only once every 7 to 10 days, as I've discovered that provided the intensity and load is relatively high, the body can take only so much punishment, and after that, it's like kicking a dead horse. So why waste energy? Why do more than what's required? A tremendous amount of energy is required after the workout is through to recover, heal, and grow. So you should leave the gym knowing you can do more instead of in a completely exhausted state. This is one of the secrets to excellent recovery and growth and progression in the sport. There will always be differences in the approach and design of workout schedules and arrangement. Exercise variation, cross-training, and periodization are important concepts associated with the science of exercise physiology. Routines can vary depending upon the specificity of sport, the anatomy of the individual, and the exercise equipment available. Each one of us is unique. I've interviewed hundreds of professional athletes and bodybuilders, and in general, they all have a different take on training. The most important thing is to understand the basic principles, design a structured program, follow some initial guidelines, and then modify your program as you go along. Don't change your routine if you are injury-free, improving, and making progress. This is the most you can ask for. Leave well enough alone. Change your routine, though, if nothing is happening, or work harder. Experience is the greatest teacher, and through trial and error, you can come up with an effective strategy which challenges the body and minimizes risk of injury. If you ask the world's best professional bodybuilders how they train, they all have a different story to tell. What works for one may not work for another. However, there are basic keys of knowledge that apply universally to workout and training success. And don't make the mistake of training like a bodybuilder if you want to transfer the value of weight training onto the field or into your sport. Muscle can be built for show or developed for function. And there's a big difference between how each one is done. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from the Earl of Chesterfield. who, in a letter to his son dated March 10th, 1746, wrote, "Whatever is worth doing at all is worth doing well."